Thank you for choosing this Analyst Insight podcast from the Information Security Forum. My name is Mark Ward. I'm a senior research analyst at the ISF. And in this podcast, we're going to explore what the research team is actually going to be doing in 2023. We're going to be treating the research topics we choose slightly differently. And we wanted to explain the thinking behind that change, give you a sense of what might be produced and how that might affect engagement with members and the deliverables at the far end of it. To do that, we've got the entire research team here to talk about their respective projects and give you some background. In alphabetical order, we have Richard Absalom. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Mark. Hi, everyone.
We have Max Brook.
Hi, Mark.
Hello. We have Paul Holland.
Hello, everyone.
We have Lee Munson.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Paul Watts.
Hello.
Slightly disappointed nobody said present, but anyway, let's crack on. We've got quite a lot to get through. So just to start, we should recap what we did in 2022, give you a bit of a review, because that was quite a traditional year in some respects for the ISF. We had two quite long SDW projects, as we call them, play out solution development workshops, which ran for quite a few months. A lot of engagement with members, really good experiences on both sides, I hope. And the result of that was a couple of reports, one on governance, and then Richard Absalom produced one on metrics and measurement. Complementary reports in many respects. A lot of the issues that we tackled, we certainly had conversations about, and a lot of organizations using those metrics, that measurement, to prop up and help their governance efforts. But one of the other projects that we did last year that it's kind of sets the tone, a bit of a pioneering effort by Paul Holland, was on ICS. So Paul, if you can talk about the way that was structured, what emerged at the end of it, and yeah, how that's going to progress in 2023, that'd be great.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. So my focus last year was on industrial control systems and operational technology, so ICS and OT. With the breadth of issues there are in that topic, we felt that our traditional projects that we run didn't quite fit, that we weren't going to be able to produce something really useful for the membership. So we tried something different, which was lots more kind of short form reports, so a steady stream instead. And what we've done is kind of created a community around it. So as well as that, we've run lots of workshops through the year, rather than just a lot in one go like we do with the solution development workshop projects. So with that, we managed to produce three papers last year. One was in an introductory paper into ICS and OT and the differences to the IT world, and you know why this is a problem, why we need to treat it differently. Then we also produced one on kind of how you can do kind of threat profiling, trying to understand the different threats that sit in that OT world compared to the IT world, and then finished up with one about kind of vendor management, looking at the manufacturers of the ICS OT equipment that many of the members will be using and how they can interact and work with them better. We've had good feedback from the members over these short form reports, so they're varying about 6 to 8 pages long, which makes them a bit more bite-sized. You know, one member actually said, "This is great, I can kind of read them in my coffee break," which makes it much easier for me to digest. So, you know, this is good, and this is something that we're going to continue and we'll speak about a bit more later in this podcast.
I want to know what security professional's got time for a coffee break. When did that become a thing?
Luxury. I used to dream of having a coffee break. But so the papers that you produced, there weren't briefing papers as such, because I guess that used to be the shortest form that we did. But are we pioneering another form? Or is it, I guess, because it's that paper is deliverable, but there's a lot of other work that went around it as well.
There is, yes, certainly. Like I said, we run lots of workshops. There's lots of interviews with members, lots of interaction with the members in that as well, which is really good. So we're getting a lot of feedback from them as I'm writing them as well. The whole research process is heavily involving the members on top of the research I've been doing myself. But yeah, we're calling these, so the papers are termed ICS Insights. So the Insights is effectively the kind of series we're looking at here now. As a different way of delivering output to members.
Right, I think we're going to take that forward into next year. I mean, that's the big change, really, isn't it? We're not going to be doing those SDWs. We're going to be doing smaller, quick hit type projects across a few different subjects. So, I mean, is that, are we following the format from the ICS work, sort of those workshops? And I don't know, are we lots of small papers or on those couple of big ones at the end of the year, I guess?
So from 2023, ICS is going to continue. So I'm going to continue the work I've been doing, looking more into what I can do to help our members with their OT environments. There's lots of exciting opportunities there, definitely more workshops. As well, we're going to move the kind of insight series into another arena as well, which is going to be run by Paul Watts this year, which is more of a kind of a leadership insights track. Which hopefully he'll explain in a little bit later. But because it seems to have worked with the membership, it's quite nice to be able to pick topics where there is a breadth of information that we can help with and loads of different areas. So rather than trying to cram all that into one report, we're putting it out in lots of different smaller reports, which effectively, you know, by the time we've finished it, will be the same size as one of our kind of full reports, you know, the normal printed ones that we do, solution development workshop style reports, but we'll have done them piecemeal. So people will be able to take time, digest one, read it, try and do something with it. Then hopefully the next paper's out and they're ready to read and digest that one and then do something with it. Rather than having loads and loads of things to do in one go, we can just build up the picture for them and take them on the journey through our reports with us.
Yeah, because I think that's what strikes me about what's good about changing our approach is that engagement happens throughout the year. And it has to be said that those SEW projects, you do get engagement, but it tends to be beginning and end of the project. There's a big chunk in the middle where often you don't have quite as much connection with members as perhaps you'd like, whereas this should keep it rolling throughout the term of the research project. Paul, I don't know if you want to chat about sort of why we've taken this approach, apart from, you know, just improving that engagement. I mean, there's some bigger issues that as well we wanted to try and engage with that's driven this decision.
Well, the reality of the situation and talking to members, Mark, is that the agility and challenges that agility brings, especially in the uncertain world we find ourselves in, makes it much more difficult for us to justify big 9-month SDW projects. There's absolutely a place for them, but we want to become as agile as our members need us to be in terms of the challenges they face on a daily basis. So as a consequence of that, and we've seen it work really well with the industrial control systems and operational technology, is a little and often does seem to be the way to go. It also gives us an opportunity to react to changes in circumstance. So if we see a legislative change during the middle of the year, it's very hard to course correct a piece of work we're doing through the solutions development workshops and so on and so forth. It just gives us the opportunity to be a little bit more situationally aware of what's going around, you know, what's happening in the world around us, and responding quickly with potential solutions, you know, our qualification of what we think that means to members, and then give the members an opportunity to kind of pitch back and say, I've tried this, this has worked, this hasn't worked, so we can feed that back to members. In short, Mark, we think the format just allows us to become a little bit more agile in the way that we deliver research across the membership.
Yeah, because certainly I've been at the ISF about 3 years and it's changed a lot as an organisation, and certainly in the research team, we've seen a bit of a change in staff, but also just how we approach things and you know, leaving behind some of those traditional ISF things. I mean, they're not gone, but they're still there and they have that value. And certainly governance and metrics and measurement were solid projects, and you know, there's a lot of work went into them. There's some great advice and good practice that we celebrated in them as well. But Richard, I don't know if we want to chat to you about future research, or just whether this has an impact on what we choose as topics, whether we need to improve the cadence, the rhythm of the votes on that, or just whether, you know, the sort of these projects have come out of that research hub and whether that's a good indicator of how it's working.
Yeah, I mean, as ever, so you people with the eagle-eyed amongst our membership might have noticed, we kind of rebranded from the Forward Work Programme to the Future Research Hub last year. And it still remains the place to go and, you know, put forward ideas for what you want us to research and, you know, what are the problems you're having. So yeah, absolutely. All of the projects that we're talking about have started there in some format, whether it, you know, we as researchers can put our ideas up as well, but, you know, when it comes down to it, we take what the members want us to do through the votes. I think we're currently looking at two votes, you know, we'll kind of run two votes through 2023. And, you know, if you look at the size of us as a team, there's six of us, there's a limit to the amount of stuff that we can actually cover the project. So yeah, that's about the right number, I think, in terms of, yeah, how many votes we're going to have. There's still kind of two or three subjects that we've got space to do this year that we don't know at the moment what they're going to be, right? Because we haven't gone through the vote. So, yeah, that there's still time for people to go and vote, put their ideas forward, and yeah, really have your say as to yeah what you want us to talk about and research on your behalf.
And I think as well, we in the research team, we're going to be a bit more active in generating ideas from our own research. I mean, that's the kind of an idea as well, just that sometimes, you know, the interesting aspects of some of those projects, and certainly I think the CISO leadership track that Paul Watts is going to do is come out some of the governance work. There's a definite need for some for attention on that, and because there's some good practice, and but also as well there's some you know, useful tips and tricks and other things to explore as well.
Yeah, and absolutely. And the measuring security project that I worked on last year is absolutely an example of that. I put up the idea, not of my, well, I was the one who technically wrote it, but that was off the back of talking to lots of members over previous projects about what they wanted to see. And it turned into a popular idea. You could say I created a bit of a rod for my own back on that one, on taking on measuring security as a topic. But yeah, we were able to kind of put that idea forward and see whether it's popular or not. So absolutely, we'll carry on doing that as a team. But there's also the chance for members to go and, you know, kind of put in your own ideas as well.
Yeah, and I think as well, just to bring in Lee and Max here, because Threat Horizon is probably a bit of a halfway house between where we were and where we're going to be, because that's definitely become this year has going through quite a few changes and is definitely trying to be more engaged with the world. Max, Lee, I'm not sure who wants to quickly give a summary of the changing focus of Threat Horizon and how that might change over the next year as well, 2023, what's implied for that report?
Yeah, so as you said, Mike, it's really the season of change at the minute in the research team at the ISF, but we sort of spent a lot of time thinking about how we approach the future in our Threat Horizon report and really to try and deal with a lot of the uncertainty and those emerging risks that are you know, popping up everywhere for organizations at the minute, was to take a less rigid approach that we'd previously done with a more prediction-based methodology and actually change that towards a more scenario-based approach, which really allows us to keep a lot of those key aspects from Threat Horizon prior, really that information security focus, but by doing it in a way which allows us to take a much broader point of view and really try and put security in context as well. So flipping the report a bit on its head and focusing a lot on those big PESL drivers that influence change, both at that sort of national, international, and organizational level, and thinking about how security actually responds and adapts to those situations, really.
Yeah, I mean, sort of been on the QC for Threat Horizon. Yeah, it's a very different report, but I think it, in some respects, the limitations of the old Threat Horizon were that you got 9-point threats and, you know, 9 points in time, and there were predictions, and that's a very difficult word to use given the uncertainty that we're all going through. But as well, I think, you know, there's a lot changing in information security, and by all means, anybody chime in on this, that, well, again, I think that's something else we're trying to recognise and help with. It's just that information security has a very different role to what it used to, and we need to try and step up to that and give advice and help where we can.
I think what's quite telling with previous Threat Horizons is they felt a little bit unconsciously biased into the world of information security. And what we're trying to do with the evolution of Threat Horizon, looking at scenarios, is consider in equal part the business and technical impacts of scenarios on the business world and the world around us. You know, our aspiration is that this report becomes more broadly used by business and technical stakeholders, rather than technical stakeholders then having to do a degree of translation for the paper to resonate well with business leaders. So we're going through that change now. I think you're going to see when we release 2025 that bigger spread between technical and non-technical risks, threats and impacts. And hopefully that will help business practitioners and security practitioners have a more collaborative conversation, recognizing that we live in a hyper-converged world and the ramifications of technical threat impact the non-technical world very rapidly, very quickly. And it's important that everybody understands that so that businesses can become more resilient. And it comes back to that word, resilience. And equally, we have to recognize that, you know, not all risk is bad. You know, unmanaged risk is bad. And the whole point of Threat Horizon is to start to think about those risks in the context of organizations and decide how little or how much you want to do. The power is in your hands, but you need to make informed decisions. And that's what we're trying to do with Threat Horizon.
Yeah, one thing it's very good, this year's edition is very good at, is picking out, you know, those broad themes and then saying, well, how does that impact information security? What does that mean for organizations or your information security function and practitioners? And it's definitely more detailed on that front. So yeah, I think I think it's a work in progress as well, that things will change with Threat Horizon. We're going to be socializing that heavily, I think, over the next few months, giving people a toolkit. So yeah, I mean, Max, is that's the idea? Yeah, get out there, get in front of people, give them these tools to play with, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. Like Threat Horizon previously was over 10 years of really honing the technique and the approach that we had. And, you know, I think the key point this year especially is it's been an evolution, not a revolution, of the report. So really we're trying to take members on that journey too and understand what they want and how they think they'll be able to use this report and this approach going forward, and tie that into a lot of the work we'll be doing. And of course that involves getting out there at chapters, at conferences, and just, you know, getting face to face to really understand the use cases for this change.
And we've learned a lot as well. And I it's probably worth bringing Lee into this part of the conversation. So as part of our design of the new approach to Threat Horizon, we spent some time with Side Business School in Oxford. And I don't know about you, Lee, but I really had my eyes open to, you know, what happens when you look at these scenarios through a completely different perspective. I mean, it really opened my eyes up to the potential of what we could be doing with scenarios to manage cyber security threat. I don't know what your thoughts are, or your kind of reflections on that.
No, you're absolutely right, Paul. When we worked with Saeed, my mind was absolutely blown by everything that came out of those meetings. You know, we don't just get these four scenarios for every theme. It's the amount of thought that it sends you off on in different tangents. So we'll list a certain number of threats per theme, but these will really get you thinking.
Yeah, totally agree.
And there's going to be a toolkit there as well. So, because I guess one of the criticisms we've had of Threat Horizon is sometimes it's a bit not quite specific enough for some sectors and some members. And I think, Lee, the idea is with the toolkit that people take this and can run it internally themselves and try and get something more specific to them, or if they've got a specific issue that in their organization that needs exploring.
Yes, absolutely, Mark. With the toolkit we provide, members can take the existing themes and modify them to their particular organization, or they can even create their own from scratch.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a comprehensive rundown of how we did it and how you can do it in the back of the report that members can use. Thanks everyone for that. So just to move on to some more specifics of what we're going to be doing next year, Paul Holland, yeah, just to get back to you on something, the ICS, I know you mentioned some of the work that's going to be done, but I think there's a couple of subjects in particular going to be exploring reference architecture and incident management preparedness, those kinds of things with ICS. But I guess the other side of it as well is that member engagement, that community you built up, just keeping the communication going there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, like I said, the ICS series, the ICS Insight series will continue this year, definitely. And yeah, we've got a couple of topics ready to go. And then the topics later in the year are kind of, will hopefully come out of the workshops and more conversations with the members, finding out exactly what they're struggling with. And that's where these two topics came from. They came out of conversations at the last workshop that was run, where architecture was a very hefty topic that everybody kept mentioning. So we're going to have a look at seeing if we can create some kind of reference architecture, probably on a fictional case study, because we can't do a specific one just for one member. That's not fair. And there's not an architecture that will work for absolutely everybody. So that's certainly one of the papers we're looking at. And the other one, yeah, we'll be looking a bit more at kind of incident management. So we have a very good extinction level attacks report, but some of the stuff in there won't actually work very well in that ICS OT environment. So what we're going to look at is how we can take the information that we already have and tweak and amend it so that it becomes useful for that OT environment. Because we feel that, you know, there's as much chance of an extinction level attack hitting an OT environment as there is an IT environment. You know, we've seen it in the news. So, yeah, we want to be able to try and help members in that regard. One thing that it's quite important, I think, with the workshops is keeping that engagement going. We're getting a nice little community together. But what's been really nice last year is that the in-person workshops that we ran were actually hosted by member organisations. So you actually go out, go to the offices or whatever environment that they've got, sit down in there. So you get to see how other organisations are working. at the same time, as well as getting the ISF workshop as part of it. So the idea is to continue that as much as possible this year. Get out there a bit more with the members. But there will be a mix of virtual workshops as well, because we don't want to disclude people from being able to attend. So yeah, hopefully we're going to keep running with that this year, and I look forward to as much success, if not more, than last year.
Yeah, because ITSM is an interesting one, because I was surprised at how many people I talked to for the governance project who mentioned it, who and I think it was challenging them in some respects, because those old information security approaches, like I say, don't quite work, and there needs to be some guidance. There needs to be some, I mean, some of it is not obvious, but in terms of diplomacy and reaching out and talking and finding out what the problems are. But yeah, there's some definite idiosyncrasies, if that's the word, to explore there. So yeah, sounds good. Paul Watts, I don't know if you want to talk about leadership and the CISOs project. Yeah, I'm intrigued by that, because I think I'm going to be helping with some of that, because I found some great people that could help with it, but also just, yeah, curious about what advice emerges from that as well.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. Yeah, high time we focused a little bit on the plight of the security leader. You know, a lonely, challenging role, sitting at the top, responsible for quite a lot, and struggling to discharge those accountabilities across the business. Although the last couple of years, we found ourselves at a bit of an inflection point where, you know, boards are starting to recognise the issues associated with hyperconvergence, and the realisation that actually the world around us is more fragile than they gave themselves credit for. And interestingly, you know, we'll be folding in a lot of prior research. So the topics of how we measure security outcomes in the context of business strategy, the importance of good governance, good stakeholder management, and Threat Horizon 2025 and beyond all play a part. Following Mr. Holland's lead, I recognise that CISOs and security directors don't have time to sit down and spend 2 hours reading stuff. My approach is going to be a little and often, but there are a couple of subjects that I do want to cover in a little bit of detail this year. And as we talked about earlier, you know, agility is key here. If something significant happens in the industry, I will pivot. And I really do, kind of implore and reach out to security leaders to keep talking to us about what's important to you as leaders and strategists. But the areas that we do want to focus on this year is, I want to build on the work that you did actually, Mark, and we talked a little bit about over the course of the last 6 or so months, which is, you know, where's security leadership going? You know, I think we're moving away from it being a technical managerial role to more of a business strategist, ombudsman, and mediator type of role. That draws down on a whole different set of skills. So we're going to explore that a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about how security can bring business value. So let's talk a little bit about the marketing pitch. You know, how do we take security, you know, that very brittle, prescriptive, autocratic world as personified by boards and business leaders, and show them actually we can bring value in so doing. We're going to look a little bit at target operating models. So, you know, if CISOs are going to spend more time in the boardroom, you know, how do we decompose the way that security is governed, orchestrated and operated? We'll talk about the rise of the business information security officer, for example. Think a little bit about what's going on there. And then scattered all the way through that, I want to be providing a little bit of commentary. So if notable things happen in our industry, I will take keyboard to screen, and I'll talk a little bit about what I think that means to ISF members, and what we have in terms of research and guidance that can help navigate through those uncertain times. And I would encourage, you know, security leaders and members out there to respond back and challenge, and let's get a little bit of debate going. The final one I'm going to be talking a little bit about is the importance of mental health and well-being in security leadership. Incredibly stressful role. A lot of my friends who are security leaders have really struggled over the last couple of years, and some even further than that. We need to talk a little bit about coping strategies, and how you can discharge that accountability and that nurturing down into your teams to make them high performance and just feel a little bit loved. We feel a little bit unloved sometimes as security leaders and practitioners. And we need to spend a little bit of time looking after ourselves. So that, in a nutshell, are the sorts of things that we're going to be talking about in the leadership and strategy track, Mark.
Yeah, because I chatted to a lot of CISOs last year for governance, and you know, the overwhelming opinion I came away with was that they're always outnumbered, they're always outgunned. I mean, they're just, they are in the trenches fighting the good fight for sure. But it is a hard, tough place to exist in, and as a career, you wonder why people choose it. But it can be very fulfilling, and I think we need to try and find some routes from the one tough side to the other. I think so. Yeah, it'd be a great and useful project as well. And in terms of structure, similar kinds of things, small papers, workshops, that kind of engagement we're going to be doing.
Yeah, 100% that, Mark. I think the value comes from the collaboration. So, you know, rather than me spending 9 months putting the world to rights and dropping a paper, it needs to be a little and often. I think that kind of meets with the needs of security leaders, but it also gives us the ability to be quite agile. You know, I've watched how Paul's done that with ICS and OT. It's a format that works really rather well. And we'll continue to kind of incubate that a little bit and just try and be a little bit more dynamic as a consequence. But again, members, please feedback if that's working for you, not working for you. You know, we're here to listen and to learn. And we can only do that with your great feedback in the backs of our minds. So please do reach out and keep talking to us.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, this slight change of working practices for the research team is only going to work if we do get that feedback from members. So Rich is the future research hub. That's one of the key parts of this. We need some engagement there. People giving us ideas. We'll feed some as a research team into that as well. But yeah, is that part of what's going to drive some of this process as well later in the year once we're looking for new ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. People can put up any ideas anytime they want. If there are things that you're particularly worried about, concerned about, have questions over, either now or you kind of see issues coming down the pipe in the next couple of years, you can post them directly onto the Future Research Hub, or you can just talk to us, get in touch with the research team, and we can kind of think it through and put those ideas up as well. It really is the chance to get in touch and have your say in what we research on your behalf.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the year, we should have a really good roster of projects, ideas, and papers out there, and as well, a lot of engagement with members, and we can't do it without them. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for all the research team for contributing. You can find more podcasts on the ISF podcast channel or at securityforum.org or where you usually get your podcasts. We're on most of those subscription platforms now. So please take a look and give us a like, give us a subscribe. And you can also learn more about ISF research tools and guidance on securityforum.org.